And roadblocks are, like you see here, often concrete cubes placed on Palestinian roads to prevent Palestinians from being able to use their vehicles on their roads. So what these roadblocks mean, for example, for the village of Deir Belut is that instead of taking a half-mile paved road from their village to the checkpoint every morning on their way to work or to school, they have to take a 3-mile unpaved detour all the way around through the countryside to reach the exact same spot. What does this mean for them? More time, more stress, more wear and tear on their vehicles, more money for gas. And again, this question of security, right? These institutions, the checkpoints, the roadblocks, are supposed to be there for the security and safety of the Israeli population, to prevent terrorism. In what way are these roadblocks securing anybody? You know, forcing Palestinians to take this long detour. How much is this about security, and how much is this about control? Some roadblocks are made with dirt, and you can see these villagers on the right here are coming home from work. They live on the other side of the roadblock, so what they have to do every morning is that they drive their cars to the roadblocks, park them, walk around by foot, and take a taxi the rest of the way to work or to school, and repeat the process coming home. So these roadblocks prevent something as basic as Palestinians taking their vehicles from their house to their work or to school. And finally, these roadblocks are extremely disabling to the Palestinian economy. As you can imagine, transporting goods from one end of the land to the other is not a trivial process given all of these checkpoints and roadblocks. So basically, a truck that's carrying Palestinian goods, when it reaches a roadblock, has to sort of turn around and back up against the roadblocks, get another vehicle to come from the other end and turn around and back up from that end, and somebody has to actually manually transport these goods from one end of the roadblock to the other, as you see in these photographs. And, well, the products are not always office equipment. They could be produce, perishables, things that go bad by the time they reach their destination, and they could be desperately needed medical supplies. Beyond just taking a long time, this whole process renders a lot of these Palestinian products much more expensive than they otherwise would be because of the extra manpower and vehicular power that's required to transport them. What happens then is that a lot of these Palestinian products end up being even more expensive than their Israeli counterparts, which are very easy to transport on the Israeli-only roads. What happens then, of course, is that the Palestinian market is then flooded with Israeli products, which Palestinians, many of them struggling to make ends meet, end up purchasing instead of supporting their own economy, supporting the very country that is occupying them. Settlements are the next part of my talk. Settlements in the territories are essentially communities of Jewish Israelis who are living on Palestinian land. And they may be sort of villages, towns, cities. Here's a rather large one near Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And again, all of this land here is Palestinian land. It belongs to the Palestinians. It's internationally recognized as Palestinian land. And yet there's this city that's been built on top of it that is exclusively for Jewish Israelis. Well, what does this mean? You know, who gets to live in that city? Well, I could live in that city, right? Because I'm Jewish. I would just have to fill out an application. I could move there next week if I wanted to. And yet the farmers, the Palestinians that own the land that the city was built on, aren't allowed to live in it. Now, this process is nothing new. It's happened throughout history, all over the world, and there's a name for it. It's called colonization. And it's interesting that in English and in Hebrew we have this kind of benign word, settlements, whereas in many languages, like French, for example, these settlements are called colonies, and that's exactly what they are. And they are illegal, according to international law, which prohibits an occupying power from transferring citizens from its own territory to the occupied territory, which is exactly what Israel's doing. Instead of working against the system, though, Israel actually promotes it, as you can see in this photograph, which shows a billboard on an Israeli-only road in the Palestinian territories, and it basically says, it's in Hebrew, it says, "Now more than ever." And underneath it says, basically, if you come to our community, to Ariel, which is a settlement, if you come to live in Ariel, you will be rewarded with 100,000 Israeli shekels. That's more than 20,000 US dollars. In other words, the Israeli government is actually paying its own citizens to move from Israel proper to the occupied territories to become part of the illegal occupying population. And what's particularly interesting to me about this billboard is, who is it targeting? Who are going to be the Israelis who uproot their families to go live on this foreign land because it's cheaper to do so? Is it going to be well-off, wealthy, established Israeli families? No, they want to live in Tel Aviv. The families who end up taking advantage of these offers are going to be low-income Israelis, poor Israelis, recent immigrants from Africa, from Eastern Europe. And in fact, a lot of these settlements, Ariel included, are populated primarily by immigrants who've moved to the territories not because they say this land is ours and nobody else's, but because they're looking for a higher standard of living. And these financial offers can be very appealing. People who take advantage of them will get nice housing, oftentimes with mortgages subsidized by the government. There are parks for their kids to play in, strip malls, swimming pools, and a place where water is so precious. A nice offer, right? Again, all of this built illegally on Palestinian land. At this point, there are settlements all over the West Bank. The red dots in this map indicate where you have an illegal Jewish-only colony built on Palestinian land. And of course, coming along with the settlements and colonies is the road network. And here you can see it's just a handful of them, but the way those blue roads and highways really chop up, compartmentalize that Palestinian landscape. Remember, of course, that these roads were built illegally on Palestinian land, and that the Palestinians owning the land that they were built on, for the most part, aren't even allowed to use them because of the segregated road system.